Just how bad was it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us this Monday morning. We all know there was a rush to stabilize the financial system last fall. But according to an audit released today, officials from the Treasury and from the Federal Reserve reportedly misled the public about the health of some of the nation's largest banks. That's according to the watchdog overseeing the bank bailout program. Tamara Keith has more.
The first infusion of cash from the Troubled Asset Relief Program went to 9 banks. At the time, Treasury Secretary Paulson called them healthy. The message was basically, don't worry, these banks aren't in trouble. We're just giving them $125 billion so they can increase lending. In today's audit, however, the Special Inspector General for the TARP says it quickly became clear some of those institutions weren't healthy at all, which hurt the credibility of the government bailout program. But the Treasury official now in charge of the bailout says last year's quick action prevented a meltdown. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
Stocks this morning, not so good. Not much movement in Europe right now. Markets are flat there in London, Frankfurt, and Paris. In Asia, shares were lower. Japan's Nikkei fell more than 0.5%. Hong Kong shares were down as well. Stocks were lower stateside on Friday. The S&P and NASDAQ lost about 0.5% each. The Dow was off 22 points to close at 94.88. And it was week two of the Wall Street losing streak. The Dow shed 177 points last week. Well, in other news today, there's a new healthcare poll out this morning. The people behind Consumer Reports magazine says, say 51% of Americans have had to make tough health choices in the past year. Even more than that, said the cost of their health care had increased more than other expenses over the last 2 years. Consumers Union is also launching a TV ad today to push for health care legislation this year. Today starts the annual conference of ER doctors, and the American College of Emergency Physicians has a lot to talk about. One of the main topics under the microscope, of course, will be health care reform and how it could affect emergency rooms. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
We hear a lot about the uninsured using emergency rooms for routine care. Dr. Angela Gardner says that's a myth. She's president of the American College of Emergency Physicians. She says the vast majority of people who come to the ER need urgent care that regular doctors can't provide. Cutting the number of people in the ER is not the answer to cutting costs, as she says some lawmakers think.
And the truth is, all of emergency care spending in America is only 3% of the total yearly healthcare spending.
She says the overcrowding in the emergency room is really a symptom of something else. Hospitals don't have enough beds to accommodate ER patients needing follow-up care, and processing takes too long. She says although affordable coverage is necessary, it won't solve the crowding. Since Massachusetts adopted universal health care, trips to the emergency room are up 7%. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
In the coming days, we're going to hear a lot about the U.S. budget deficit now that fiscal 09 has turned into fiscal 2010. But there'll be a few figures being thrown around, and oh, how the politics behind the deficit have changed. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So how do they come up with these numbers?
Well, there are actually two sets of numbers.
Okay.
The first set is the number almost everybody uses, $1.6 trillion, which will be the official deficit number. And then there's the number I use and a few other aged cranks who care about things. And our number is roughly $2 trillion.
All right. Now, that's a big difference between those two numbers. That's $400 billion difference.
God, you're quick.
Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. And the difference is about $200 billion of the Social Security surplus, which consists of the government borrowing money from Social Security taxpayers, reduces the deficit, but not to me. And then there's about another $200 billion of interest the government pays that, for reasons I don't want to go into, don't really count in the deficit.
I can remember a time, Alan, when we were talking about budget deficits. We were talking $200, $300, $400 billion. I mean, there was none of this $1-point-some-odd trillion. I mean, are we in uncharted territory, and is this really bad?
Well, I think it's really bad. What you're going to start hearing is two sets of things, one of which is going to be, well, as a percentage of the economy, this number is only about half the deficits we had during World War II, so they really don't matter. That's going to be one set. And the other set is going to say the end of the world is at hand.
We know what kind of problems go along with deficits and high debt. What kind of issues are we likely to confront first with all this, though?
Well, if this doesn't stop, and I don't think it will, we're going to discover that the rest of the world is going to want higher interest rates to lend money to the United States than it now is demanding. And a lot of this money that we're paying in interest basically leaves the country, as opposed to, say, World War II, where the deficits as a percent of the economy were much bigger, but we financed them pretty much inside the country. So the interest payments that the government was making stayed inside the country, and the money was recycled. Now it's going to leave. And that is not a good thing.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us this morning. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, tourism officials in Salem, Illinois are calling it a coup. The town was awarded the Professional Kennel Club's World Coon Hound Championships after nearly two decades in Kentucky. Officials in the Bluegrass State say they were caught off guard by the decision. They say they didn't even know the club was considering a change. The event kicks off later this month and features cash prizes for the dog that can chase a raccoon up a tree the fastest. 2,000 canines are expected. They'll be bringing their owners and their owners' money with them. Economic impact for the event, $3 million or more. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.